Welcome to the A-News Podcast. This is episode 42 for December 15th, 2017. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week and is proudly non-radio friendly. This podcast is designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. Most stories have more information at the non-sectarian anarchist news site, anarchistnews.org. Editorial. An anarchist, no, is a comma, not a period. I am a naysayer. I only realized this about myself at an embarrassing age when I first took an improv class. Improv is largely an exercise in saying yes to things, and it became clear to me how often my initial response is not that. I'm not unusual in this. I think, in fact, that most anarchists are people who say no, who first realize their positions in the world as a result of saying no to things that other people say yes to. I support that. I love that about us, actually. I am happy for us to be the blood dribbling down the smiley face of modern U.S. capitalism. But no's are not the answer. They're an important stepping off point. They can be an important resting place. But criticism, as has probably been said more eloquently and persuasively by other people, is by definition reactive. When it's not reactive, it's not criticism. One way to look at the political time we're in is as an age of no's. The internet activist social media crowd says no to things loudly and with full drama, and it seems to be demonstrating the tenuousness of no as a catch-all. I'm trying to walk a delicate line here, one that keeps disappearing into the sand when I look for it. I have heard too many times in my life that the problems with anarchists are that we have no positive vision. My response to that, predictably, is fuck those people. First, it's not true, and secondly, it's probably appropriate that the thing we most have in common with each other is no, not that. We have been shown the problems multiple times with positive programs, with people thinking they have the answers for other people, as well as the fallacy of if only everyone did, blank. It's also easy for me to fall down the rabbit hole of considering how every no is a yes, which on one level I totally believe, but is also philosophical silliness that makes talking about this impossible. Traps everywhere! So maybe the distinction I'm trying to talk about is the difference between anarchists as an attempted political force in the world and anarchists as people in my life. If I'm saying that I think anarchists as a formation are most important for saying no to things that other people take for granted, from democracy to police to economics, maybe I'm also proposing that anarchists as people, as conversationalists, as people in relationship, are best when we're imaginative, experimental, and exploratory. Life, love, dancing, no war, stay free, we can live, yes. And the beat goes. What's new this week? Waging the War on Christmas. King Mob and the Battle of Selfridges. From Anonymous. This is a brief history of a group that did pranks and is a snapshot of a pranking time in the 80s when groups in both the US and the UK, and maybe other places, were pulling off savage, hilarious, and disorienting pranks, aka situations, aka actions. Quote, King Mob, from the very beginning, was a project predicated to action, to the manufacture of situations that illuminated in the harshest light the various predations and weaknesses of nation state and capital. Here again, the conundrum of organization resolved, where the coordination of activity defined and circumscribed King Mob's existence, not an ideology and certainly not the wholly reactionary, quote, desire to belong to something greater than oneself, unquote. Pranks!
Operation Wild Mayhem, Games to Collapse Empire. From Barbacoli by Julian Langer. Announcing playful challenges to the status quo, citing Hakeem Bey and the Situationists as precursors. Quote, Situationists are focused on challenging the psychogeography of this culture's everyday normal life through mediums such as Situationist Prank, which involve turning aspects of capitalism's everyday narratives against itself. Discordians and guerrilla ontologists, inspired by the philosophy of Robert Anton Wilson, have often embraced the campaign of Operation Mindfuck, which is focused on art-based approaches like performance and guerrilla art, as well as vandalism, practical jokes, reality hacking, and hoaxes. Unquote. While I don't like all of the possibilities listed in the announcement, people's responses on this thread were sad and unimaginative. Anarchists don't want to talk about fun? Interesting that this piece and the one on King Mob showed up in the same week.
Anarchismo Network, Statement of the General Meeting, from Freedom News. This is a quote, joint declaration on the quote of the movement, unquote. Quote, The end of capitalism and the self-management of the whole of society are needs that cannot and should not wait any longer. As such, they are historical objectives. They are the goals that lie at the heart of our practice within the organizations of the exploited. We learn and prepare tomorrow's values in today's struggles. We do not believe there are any shortcuts to that. Our daily duty is to build, step by step, the struggles and social conflicts in our neighborhoods and our workplaces. We must accumulate the strength in order to gather and mobilize the whole part of the society which resists and creates dissent, refuses to comply with capitalism, and defends the only possible alternative, organization, from below and the destruction of every form of domination and exploitation. Our politics are one of emancipation, direct grassroots action, and the construction of popular power. Unquote.
Uruguay, solidarity with the anarchists persecuted by Operation Erebo in Brazil. From Insurrection News, quote, named like previous operations from a malicious reading of Greek mythology, Operation Erebo was initially carried out by the civil police in Porto Alegre. However, since the latest series of raids that began on November 30th, it is now presumed that the federal police of Brazil are also participating. This operation is another addition to the history of persecution against anarchist and anti-authoritarian ideas and practices. The mass media are reporting on the possibility of the newly approved anti-terrorist law in Brazil being applied. We believe it is necessary to make visible the situation that is being experienced in the social spaces and anywhere that is positioned in resistance. We encourage comrades to keep abreast of events and to show solidarity with the rebels persecuted by the Brazilian state. Unquote.
What is real anarchism? From Anonymous. A decent, if somewhat naive-sounding, attempt at an anarchist manifesto. Unfortunately, such things bring out my contrary side. Quote, from this perspective, the anarchist point of view doesn't make any sense at all. One common conclusion is that anarchists must be hopelessly naive to believe that it could be possible to do away with authority without disastrous consequences. Another reaction is that anarchists must be destructive-minded and violent people who actively want society to slip into a nightmare condition of chaos. In fact, these two depictions of anarchists are used pretty much interchangeably by our enemies, particularly in the mainstream media, depending on the needs of the moment. One day, anarchists are a bunch of woolly-minded idealists, completely detached from the, quote, real world, foolishly clinging to a childish cloud cuckoo land of stateless society. The next day, they are a sinister and violent gang of sociopaths plotting underground to wreak havoc and destroy everything that is good in society. Unquote. Yeah, see, both of those do sound like me. No, really, I am friendly to this piece. Like all definitional pieces for anarchy, it's individual and sort of idiosyncratic. Taoism? Which the language doesn't reflect. All anarchists? But, okay.
Zurich. Fermento Anarchist Bookshop raided. From Act for Freedom Now. Quote, on Thursday, November 30th at around 4 p.m., a dozen plainclothes and uniformed policemen from the Cantonal Police entered the premises of anarchist bookshop Fermento on Josefstrasse 102 in Zurich, armed with a search warrant. The alleged crime? Quote, public instigation to commit crimes and acts of violence, unquote. As we have just learned, three policemen from the Criminal Investigation Department of the Cantonal Police already entered the bookshop 10 days earlier. Then, too, using the same statement, the bookshop window would be an incitement to commit crimes and violence against businesses and individuals, to be seen in the context of the recent incendiary attacks against the construction of the PJZ, New Palace of Justice, in Beislergut prison in Basel. All this did not happen completely unexpectedly. Only a couple of days before, a long background article published by Schweiss am Wochenende and taken up by the Aargauer Zeitung urged that something be done once and for all against these anarchists, boasting of having discovered what everyone in Zurich can see, our shop window. If the police acted on the impulses of Andreas Maurer's piece to call the journalist by his name, or if the latter had written under the pressure of someone else, we cannot know and do not care. The journalist's role as cop has been openly demonstrated once again. Unquote. Reflections on anarchist organizing from Freedom News. An essay with ingenuous reflections on organizing with young people that reflects many principles of a good organizer. 1. When the goals are too big, think smaller. 2. Acknowledge sadness and depression, but only so you can come back to hope. 3. Emphasize group power. 4. Get to the kids when they're young. Quote, In reflecting back over 2017, I can't help but feel a little sad and overwhelmed. The challenges are huge, and sometimes I feel we tread water just to drift downstream. I feel despondent at the state of the movement and the bust-ups that flare up between groups within it. When I look at the small things, though, the manageable and controllable things nearby, I can see the difference I and others make together. Unquote.
Reacting to Reactions to Reactions, a review of Angela Nagel's Kill All Normies. From Gods and Radicals by Reed Wildermuth. This is one of the best things I've read on this topic. While it's a review of Nagel's book, like the best reviews, it goes beyond the specific title and draws on other texts and personal experience to make some important points about the lacks in our own theory. It's so easy for people talking about Twitter culture or Tumblr culture or social media activism, etc., to aim it all outwards. This review is better than that. Quote, Nagel's reason for bringing Germaine Greer up at all is not to defend her brand of trans-exclusive feminism, but rather to elucidate how no-platforming and Tumblr liberalism have led to the left having no coherent intellectual discourse against the alt-right. Few theorists or intellectuals can accumulate enough virtue capital to withstand the friendly fire long enough to iterate a coherent political and cultural ideology that can weaken the alt-right's position. But here she makes a rare intellectual error herself, because Greer's feminism is precisely the sort that hobbles the efforts to cultivate something that can oppose the core brilliance of alt-right fascism. Unquote. This reflects some of the points that anarchist critic made in a forum on TERF versus trans, and A-Critic also weighs in on this thread with interesting insight on connections and causes.
Chile. New message from anarchist prisoners Natalie Casanova and Juan Flores as the end of the Bombs Case 2 trial approaches. From Insurrection News, quote, the time spent in prison emphasizes at each moment the meaning of the life that we consciously choose, since we feel the need to confront this reality of extermination and devastation with its relations of power and submission in order to truly live. We unavoidably approach some kind of conclusion. We have been in prison for more than 3 years for maintaining our position against the system of domination without showing any remorse. Since we could not deny ourselves, let alone what the struggle against power means, in which many comrades have been taken from us, it has been a necessity for us to keep them present from our thoughts to our actions in order to continue being complicit with them, destroying the borders of time and space. Unquote. This touching statement comes out as these two prisoners are expecting to be sentenced soon. They've been in prison for more than 3 years already, and describe some of the mutually unlikely things they're accused of.
CrimeThink, talking to the media. From CrimeThink. I appreciate CrimeThink as a project that addresses many of the questions I'm interested in and comes to very different conclusions. The main way that shows could be demonstrated by this article, particularly by the quote that expresses an idea so popular among organizer-type people. Spin or be spun. The idea that we could ever spin and not be spun in today's world seems to me both hopelessly naive and also self-aggrandizing. I would accept something like be spin with awareness or without, maybe, but somehow that doesn't have their same je ne sais quoi. Journalists are the face of the media system, and whatever friendliness they show, however sincere, is more or less irrelevant in the mechanism of the media. Over them are editors and publishers. The most sympathetic story can be turned into a hit piece with editing, not to mention photo choice and layout decisions. On top of that, the list included in this piece of How to Treat Journalists sounded to me like a list of things to keep in mind with dealing with cops. But it's a good point that if you know how to get your way with cops, you might do fine with journalists. I'll be around the corner. Thanks.
Friendship is a Root of Freedom. An essay from excerpts from a new book by AK Press called Joyful Militancy, which some might consider a takeoff or a play on Armed Joy. Quote, freedom here is not the absence of restriction, but the capacity to become more active in shaping our attachments and situations. This becoming active is not about controlling things, but about learning to participate in their flow, forming intense bonds through which we become implicated in each other's struggles and capacities. Similarly, feminist philosopher Donna Haraway has argued that making kin across divides of species, nation, gender, and other borders is perhaps the most urgent task today. Through friendship or kinship, we undo and renew ourselves in potentially radical and dangerous ways. In this sense, freedom is rooted in friendship. Unquote.
On Two Revolutions, from Haypack's blog, a blog run by the people who publish a philosophically oriented journal by the same name that explores concepts of communism, Deleuzian theory, and insurrection, among other things. Among the things they've published are Japanese translations of articles from Hostis Journal and the essay To Our Friends by the Invisible Committee. Quote, caught between right-wing and liberal, the old left, new left, and even officially recognized anarchism, including mutations like anarcho-fascism, form a gradation. All of this amounts to nothing more than a struggle over governance. All that matters is severing ourselves from it. The new left branched from the old left and from its best parts autonomia, or the hallway of changing the world without taking political power, derived prefigurative politics. So what does it mean for insurrectionary politics to have appeared after this? What matters here is not the radicalization of its tactics. It's that it severs itself from governance, that the expression used for this severance is insurrection, that it's communism. It goes without saying that this has nothing to do with the debate around the ideal of communism. Communism as a whole is rejected. It's because it's been left in fragments that collectivity arrives. Unquote.
Strategic optimism. From birdsbeforethestorm.net, quote, I want to die in bed, 100 years old, having lived most of my life in a stateless anti-capitalist society. This is possible. Authoritarianism is not unconquerable. I don't believe in utopia, per se, and I don't think an anarchist society would be perfect. But I believe we could live a lot healthier, happier, and more freely than we do now. So I want to win. I believe it's possible for us to win. On the other hand, I don't expect to. Fighting to win and fighting for what I actually believe in instead of some watered-down compromise has proven to just outright be a better way to live. Furthermore, acting as though winning is a serious possibility is the only way for it to become even the barest possibility. My optimism is a cynical optimism, a strategic optimism, but it's optimism nonetheless. Unquote.
Santiago, Chile. Explosive attacks against the headquarters of the Socialist Party and the Radical Social Democratic Party by antagonistic nuclei of the New Urban Guerrilla. From Insurrection News. Quote, wanting to be precise and concise, through this statement we claim responsibility for the placement of explosive devices at the headquarters of the main parties of the new majority, corresponding to the Socialist Party and the Radical Social Democratic Party, located at number 873 Paris Street and number 57 Laundry Street, respectively. Given the facilities of the physical space in which both foul organizations are located, we saw the possibility of carrying out simultaneous attacks, violating both the security and the internal surveillance of the parties. After the announcement 2 weeks ago from the government by the human waste that is the Interior Minister, Mahmoud Aloué, following the placement of explosive devices at the headquarters of the PPD, Party for Democracy, and the PDC, Christian Democratic Party. With the above, we want to state that we are capable of violating their methods, strategies, and security agents, and that we do not fear their words or their methods of repression. Unquote.
On popular power in Venezuela, a statement by Uruguayan anarchists. From Black Rose Federation, this seems to be a nuanced history of events in Venezuela since Chavez came to power. I don't know enough to know how accurate his conclusions are, and no one has spoken to it yet in its thread. Quote, of course, the Chavista government had used the popular power slogan, but orchestrated such from the top in trying to build new institutions in the capitalist state, but functional to their project and also to their conception of state. It is true that an important leading role at a popular level emerged, which is impossible to deny, and that for a moment, and at a certain level, a parallel society was organized with organisms of real popular power, which initially had little to no intervention from the state. Many radical militants joined this activity of popular power, and in the hearts of the people, they raised the need of independence from the organism of the state and struggling for their own objectives. Clearly, though, the state only creates bureaucracy and a new bourgeoisie. In the space of a few years, former militants and some upstarts began taking control of different aspects of the state and started to integrate and enrich themselves. This phenomenon is known as borricos, a play on words between Bolivarian and rich. Translator. One can say the same about the military caste of senior army officers who have won benefits as never before. This process was accompanied by a certain level of corruption. Unquote.
Determining a threat when you're the target, a response to several authors. From C4SS. I have a weakness for essays that combine life experience with theory and ideas, and that also take on conflict between the author and other thoughtful people. This piece does all that. It's not the most exciting thing in other ways, but it seems like a good faith effort to continue a conversation about violence that is complicated. That's nice.
We are an image from the future video. Athens. A fierce riot unfolds 9 years since the murder of Alexis Grigoropoulos by cops. From Anonymous. This post announces a 9-minute video with footage, both behind the scenes and more public, from the December 6th riot this year. The 9th anniversary of the dramatic and inspirational riots catalyzed by the murder of Grigoropoulos. Greece!
Finland. 100 years are enough. Video. A video with music and no spoken words of a protest in Finland.
Counterinsurgency as a State Philosophy with Peter Gelderloos. From It's Going Down. 44 minutes. Frank Lopez of Submedia fame interviews Gelderloos. Starts by defining and explaining the principles of counterinsurgency, the state's far more theorized term for what anarchists call social war, moves on to, among other things, various state tactics, particularly enclosures, both semantic and spatial, and identity-based recuperation. Peter provides a thoughtful, historically referenced analysis.
Podcasts. The Final Straw Radio, Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement on the RAM NYC Community Bail Fund. 1 hour and 2 minutes. Quote, this week we spoke with members of the BASE, which is an anarchist base in New York City, about the newly formed Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement NYC Community Bail Fund. In this episode, we talk about the concept of bail and its origins, what folks have happened to them from the moment of arrest to the moment bail is set, what it means to have an explicitly abolitionist bail fund, the intricacies of the corporate bail bond system, and many other topics. We end with a follow-up question to our previous interview about Burn Down the American Foundation, a text which our guests authored and put out earlier in 2017. Unquote.
Error 451, number 6. Cryptocurrencies, Nazis, bail block, and in real life impacts. 1 hour and 4 minutes. Talk with Pat Boyle from Unicorn Riot about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, aka altcoin, and the relationship with the alt-right. It starts out with technical info about what Bitcoin is, encrypted, peer-to-peer, headless currency. It starts to get more into the politics of it around 16 minutes. One of the more interesting altcoin projects mentioned is a challenge to the bail system called Bail Block.
Free Radical Radio Audio, The Broken Teapot, 1 hour and 43 minutes. The Broken Teapot is a pamphlet originally put out about 5 years ago and was an early call-out of polarized accountability processes and call-out culture. This reading is from the second edition, which is only different in the introduction. It is reminiscent of Christian Williams' Politics of Denunciation article. The reader does a fine job, only occasionally sounding like a robot at a poetry slam.
Topic of the week, a life work copying. Not long ago, anarchists were gifted copycats. The autonomous movements of Europe set a prime example of how to take an idea, open it up to participants, and allow for them to experiment and improve on ideas as they went. The social center movement was key in imagining anarchist spaces seeking freedom from the status quo and gave birth not only to the info shop, but also to the DIY movement and longer lasting experiments like Christiania. As these projects fade, what is there to take their place? In an environment where today's generations feel pressured for both time and money, and wherein rapid urban development is a reality outcompeting independent efforts, is such autonomy even possible?
Well, thank you very much for coming on and having this conversation with me. I'm not sure if you want to go by a name, but really what I enjoyed about this topic was a conversation, at least on some level, to talk about what it is or what is it that we've copied from Europe and whether or not, you know, our future projects will or will not look like further copies from Europe. And if that is the case, then maybe we should be, you know, traveling there more frequently.
Oh, yeah. I find it interesting that you immediately go to Europe, so to speak, after reading the whole topic of the week thing, because I was just thinking about projects in general, and the whole topic of the week has been about what projects can we create that would be so appealing to people that it just goes viral, so to speak, and people just start copying it all the time. And I guess the goal would be such a badass, awesome project that people copy it and it's like a truly liberatory project. And, you know, after a few more steps, you know, we get to the revolution.
Well, in your own life, mm-hmm. would you say that there have been projects that, you know, perhaps wouldn't explicitly be called anarchist, but projects that have had those qualities?
Oh, yeah. So this is like an issue that I have with this topic of the week, is that I don't like that model of like creating projects that are so appealing that
charismatic,
people copy
yeah.
it. Yeah. And this copying it. Because for me, anarchy is about people like realizing their own freedom and potential and self-determination. And that can look, you know, almost like by definition, any number of different ways. And so if you like have a cookie cutter model of like what you do, that seems like not much thought is put into it. And like, you know, having engaged thinking and conversations and stuff seems to me like really at the crux of anarchy, not a badass project of some kind or another.
But you've come to this position after years and years of doing more or less copycat projects like this topic discusses.
Yes and no, you know, because like I was thinking like when I first got into anarchism, it wasn't because of projects initially. It was, you know, because of the ideas. And then after, you know, immersing myself in the ideas, and I met a bunch of anarchists and got involved in projects and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like the ideas of anarchist philosophy that like has, for me, has always come first, and then projects later on.
So in other words, for you, it's always been about how do I put these ideas into practice rather than how do I bring more philosophical topics to the food not bombs.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so yeah, I think like some projects that I've been involved with, for example, you know, have been intentional communities or communes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you can call them that. And yeah, for me, like that is another kind of example. It's not usually considered anarchist, but you know, you could use that word if you want, of a copycat project. You know, you can yeah. create more egalitarian income sharing communes and follow the models of ones that have gone before. But yeah, I don't, even though like my experiences with this have been really profoundly, you know, transformative for me in my life, I've known other people that have gone to and lived at these communes that it, you know, hasn't really made that big a difference in their life one way or the other. And so, and I feel like that would apply to pretty much any anarchist project you can think of, that so for some people, you know, maybe they're at the right time of their life or whatever, yeah, right. they engage with it in such a way that is really meaningful and it really affects them in their life. And other people, it's just like it could never have happened and their life wouldn't be any different. So I really think it's like kind of more like the engagement, like people like really kind of opening themselves up and challenging themselves and thinking critically and just, you know, having intense, you know, personal engaged conversations with people that really can more likely, you know, have positive effects than just like following, you know, XYZ model of some project of some kind.
Well, but really what you're talking clearly is about an individuated type of anarchism rather than an anarchism that emphasizes struggle, i.e. a political struggle against the existing order, or collective action, i.e. to, you know, reclaim one's workplace or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely. I would say that's definitely, for me, like... yeah, I've used different labels for what kind of anarchist I am. And yeah, maybe that word that you just said there, individuated, could fit well for me. But because yeah, I think individualist too, you can use that as well. But mm-hmm. like, I think really to make it work, you know, you have to really kind of meet people where they're at, so to speak. And that means getting to know them, what they want, what their preferences are, and people learning this about each other. And then devising plans to meet needs and stuff based on the particulars of the people involved. And, you know, just that right there says that this kind of cookie cutter model approach doesn't work. or, you know, it probably would work for some people because it could very well happen that some people are in the right place in their life where, you know, where that helps them. But yeah, that's not really where I'm coming from, you know, for like mm-hmm. my kind of anarchism.
Well, I guess, you know, when I think about these topics and when I think about how to make these topics useful, by and large, you know, what I'd like to hear would be the answer from the different approaches. So, you know, for somebody who's, let's say, more interested in politics, you know, the Life Worth Copying clearly reflects the content of the fact that Antifa is, you know, clearly one of the most publicly known anarchist projects that's currently going on right now. And, you know, as we know, Antifa is a copy of anti-fascist action in Europe over the past three decades. And you know, similarly, like someone who is more for collective action, you know, I mean, if we were to argue that there is such a thing as working class movements that look like, you know, unions, well, there isn't anything that's, you know, original or new about that. And so I guess so obviously you're answering from that, from the third perspective. You know, where I want to go, at least in thinking about how to do this, is, you know, really this is just another way of asking sort of a question that gets asked all the time in these topics, which is, what do we do? So what's your answer for that, at least at this point in your life and where you're located?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess one question is, I didn't answer that with another question of, who is we? You know, like
Yeah. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, because I think it really does, yeah, depend on, like, you know, the individual people involved. And, you know, because, like, you and I can talk about our relationship, you know, and determine things from there about what to do. But, like, you know, it doesn't look the same way at all for other people, because other people have their own unique particularities of, you know, their interests and skills and capacities, etc., in their lives. And so, yeah. So then I guess this is a roundabout way then of getting to the answer of what we do is, you know, have intense kind of conversations where people understand each other better. And through that process of understanding each other better, devising strategies of what kind of relationships or projects or organizations or whatever, you know, can we create to meet whatever needs are most pressing or important to us in our lives.
And I mean, I guess what I'm trying to come around to, I think I've assumed most of those things that you're articulating, is there a particular kind of project that you are inspired by nowadays? And is it a project that's sort of a newer or different kind of anarchist project?
Yeah.
Or is it a copy of things that we've done in the past?
Oh, okay. So one thing, I would say kind of yes, no to both. Okay, so one idea that I've had for a number of years now that I've kind of already have been touching on here in this conversation is kind of organizing public conversations. And you can have them take place at protests, because a lot of people are there at protests, but it could be anywhere, really, of like just you have skilled facilitators and you have a conversations in public and you just... The key thing is for people to really kind of speak personally and not be viewing themselves and each other in political labels and categories and boxes, but more like people spilling their guts, opening up, you know, and talking to each other and really also really trying to listen to each other as well as speaking honestly.
Under the rubric of a question?
Yeah, you can have a question or a series of questions, you know, that could be the guiding framework. Well, I mean, it could be anything, like, you know, how economics, you know, there's some kind of budget cuts about something or another is going on and then there's a protest, right? And so then people could be talking about that and, you know, how their lack of services and, you know, ability to meet those needs that those services and that funding was meeting, you know, how does that affect them and how are they relating to it? And just kind of using that as just a starting point for people to start talking. And you can organize this with skilled facilitators and other people helping to create a space in public and just go with it. You know, it can, and so, yeah, what you said about, yeah, is this inspired by something from the past? I'd say, yeah, there was a time period that I'm interested in of the 1970s when the encounter group movement tried a lot of radical experimentations with these kind of scary, new, different kind of conversations. And But then that movement died off, you know. And
what did it look like compared to what you're talking about?
Well, for one, they weren't into the whole like in public thing, and I think they were more like kind of, you know, workshops that people would
join the encounter group and then have an encounter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. And so they had workshops, times and places you sign up, and maybe you pay money. But I think an anarchist bent on this would be that it would be free and in public. You know, you reclaiming public spaces. And in a way, Occupy kind of touched on this sometimes, somewhere. But that wasn't really the focus for Occupy. But, like, it's a way that you could reclaim public space as well as try to, like, really get people to engage authentically as people. Which, for me, I think, you know, that is a kind of project that people could do that would have a lot of potential.
I mean, I definitely agree with the idea that insisting on your interaction with new people to be face to face rather than, you know, digital. I think I absolutely agree with that premise. I'm just not sure who, like, it feels like, it feels like that would be very challenging to get people to find the people to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and human vulnerability is a challenging thing to access. Like, it doesn't just come instantly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And for me, I would say part of a skill set that I would like to see anarchists and people in general, you know, build up is the human vulnerability, as well as the ability to empathically listen and try to understand other people, you know, both of those things. And but I think, yeah, these skills can be built up. And that's, for me, like, that's kind of my, you know, a part of, big part of my kind of anarchism is this kind of thing.
It's a huge change of topic, but for me, that conversation has a lot to do with aging. You know, when I think about how vulnerable I am and how able I am to access that part of who it is that I am, it has been directly correlative to myself as I age. You know, my capacity to cry and to be open to a stranger. It's infinite today compared to in my 20s when.
Oh, so your capacity has been increasing in that
area. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I can't really say if it's been increasing or decreasing, but I think a barrier for me to even begin to explore that area for me was to kind of like put aside my sense of like self-righteousness and charging forward for a cause and try to convince and convert everybody around me to my way of thinking. You know, I had that kind of convince, convert for the, you know, the anarchist crusade. I had that mentality for so long, and I think that totally foreclosed any idea, any possibility of really having authentic conversations and having empathic understanding of people. And that really killed a lot of relationships too, and a lot of, you know, working relationships and friendships. And so,
on some level, aren't you saying the same thing I am, which is that when you were young, you were basically impossible?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you very much for having this conversation with me.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me here.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, this podcast was sound edited by Lino Mabel, written by Jackie. The editorial was written by Chisel. It was narrated by Chisel and a friend. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, books, pamphlets, and other anarchist material are available at littleblackheart.com. News and up-to-the-minute commentary at anarchistnews.org. Velocity, I grew up on the classics, glass of Sean Connery. My woman's from a James Bond flick, I won the lottery. Buy some old young mind similar to pottery. I destroy your fans, better call it in a robbery. I sound so original.